If you've got a Bible, I'm just going to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I better read it in context. So 1 Thessalonians is where all the T's are. Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, they all stick together. And I'm going to be reading primarily verse 23, but I just want to try and put it. We'll start at verse 16. It says, be joyful always. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Sometimes I don't feel like being joyful. But the Bible tells us, and Paul's writing to the Thessalonians and saying, be joyful always, pray continuously. I noticed one of the PowerPoints that were up earlier had the pray continuously in it. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. That's not another good one, is it? So we've been told to be joyful in all ways, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. Test everything. Hold to what is good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that last verse that I really want to concentrate on, but I just thought it'd be good to read a little bit of there. Paul's encouraging the Thessalonians to be in a state of mind that keeps them focused on Jesus. This morning, I just want to talk really about the fact that we are made up of three parts. And this might help some of us, because sometimes we hear things and we read things in the Bible and we wonder why we're not seeing it or what's really going on in our lives. And I just want to unpack a few things this morning and maybe continue next week and just point out the fact that in this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Sanctify you is to do a work on you, to change you. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's pointing out here that we are made up of three parts. We've got a spirit, we've got a soul, and we've got a body. Now, some people might say you've got a spirit, a mind, and a body, and different translations print parts. You've got a spirit inside you, so I'll try to keep on this side for the spirit, and then we've got an inner self, which we can call it our souls or mind, we'll keep that centre, and then so I'm not walking too far across, we'll say bodies over here. I'll try to keep that going as we go, but we're made up of three parts. Our body, we see, it's a bit on the outside, it's a bit that grows up, then grows out, and then sprouts things everywhere that we don't really want. Especially as we're getting old, we've got a body, and that body's been with us since the day we were conceived, and it's been developing and moving and growing, and we know what the body is. Our soul, we could say it's our mind, it's our will, our emotions, you know, our conscience, our personality. It's the real you. Now, often people say people wear a mask because we can put a smile on our face, but inside we're not happy. Because our real us is the person on the inside. Our body is just a shell that we live in. You get this. This isn't really you. You are in the inside. You just need something to walk around in while you're on earth. And God gives us a body. And how many of us know that one day we'll get a new body? Some of you seem happy with the body you got, but we're going to get a new body. Now this old body is going to fade out. It creaks, it groans, it moans and complains about stuff. And one day we'll get a new body. Amen. Amen. Well, some of you don't seem excited about that. But on the other side, our soul, our mind, the inside of us is our emotions, our conscience. And guys, I'm probably just ticking, you know, just scratching the surface with a lot of this, because psychologists, psychiatrists dig into things a lot more than I could ever do. But just to say that we're made up of body, we're also made up of our mind, our soul, which is our will, our conscience, our personality, the real us. The body we can touch. You can touch your body. If you don't believe me, put your hand across and nip the person next to you, they'll jump. Because the body can be touched and it can feel pain, it can be hurt. But we, you know, our soul, we can't literally touch it. But with music, with words, with art, with landscapes, we can touch the emotions of people, the soul of somebody. I'm speaking to your soul right now. I'm not speaking to your body, even though your body is picking it up with your ears. It's going inside you and it's there. Now, most, you know, even doctors don't quite know where we are. Are we in the brain? Are we in the heart? Are we in there somewhere? Which part of the body are we? We seem to think it's in the head because that's where we look at when here, but they're not quite sure. All they do know is if they chop off the head, you die. But then so do they if you rip out your heart or, you know, you bleed and so, you die as well. But the body was, we can touch the emotion side, the soulish side of us. We can't really touch physically, but we can touch it through words and other things. That's why sometimes if somebody hurts you physically, you know, you get a knock or a punch, after a few weeks it's worn off. But when they've hurt your soul, it can take a lot longer to get better. In fact, in some cases, it may never get better. And there's a very strong connection between you on the inside and your body. There's such a connection that your body can dictate what you feel and what you think and what you should do. If you don't believe me, just start thinking about fasting and see how your body starts to rebel. If it doesn't, say you're going to do a fast. And then watch all things. Oh, I can't do that for medical reasons, or I can't do that because I feel sick. Your body suddenly kicks in and goes, do not fast. So when you want to do something, your body can sometimes say no. Times when you know you should get up. Your body, you know, your mind is saying you need to get up and go to work, but your body is saying 10 more minutes. And then it's a rush. And your body's there going, it were good though. But your mind's going, it's crazy now. So there's a strong connection between our body and our soul that's inside us. Our soul and our spirit, because we're made up of a third part, which is our spirit. Our soul and our spirit are the bits that live forever. Our body will not live forever. We'll get a new body. But you on the inside and your spirit that's on the inside will live forever. It's an interesting fact that we need to be renewed in the thinking of our mind while we're down here. So when we get there, we'll understand more and more things. But we've got a connection with our body and our soul, and our soul and our spirit. But there's no connection between our spirit and our body. The interesting thing is that our soul and our spirit will live forever. Guys, every one of us will live forever. Everyone ever hears this. Everybody who's ever conceived will live forever. But not everybody who is conceived and lives on earth will live forever with Jesus. Everybody. So when you're thinking about whether or not I should witness or evangelize, you've got to think about that person that lives next door to you is going to live forever, but not with Jesus unless they find him. So it's just an interesting thought to keep in mind. Every one of us will live forever, but not everyone will live with Jesus. So our spirit, the third part of us, is something completely different. It's not like our body, and it's not quite our soul. It's in an addition. When you become a Christian, you came alive on the inside. Something happened on the inside. I remember when I became a Christian, it was a Wednesday night in an house group. I prayed. There was no lights. There were no angels, river dancing. There was nothing really good. I said a prayer, I just believed it, and I went home. Nothing changed on the outside of my body. I was still me. I was still good looking before I got saved, and I was still good looking after I got saved. And then in my mind, in my soul, I was still semi-smart before I got saved, and I wasn't any brighter after I got saved. I was still the same. But my spirit, something had happened in my spirit that came alive. For some reason, I could see things differently. Not weirdly, but I just appreciate things. And over the next few weeks, I was amazed how I fell in love with the Dales. I'd walked up there for years, and suddenly I thought, these are totally amazing. Because something had happened in my spirit that caused my soul to, in a sense, be regenerated, become a bit more alive. And my soul was starting to say to my body, you appreciate these things. So we're all made up of three parts. John 3:6 says this. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. It seems like common sense, but we're all born of flesh. We're all born of a mother. Whichever way you look at it, we're all born of somebody, and it's usually the lady. Even though scientists are trying to prove that wrong, but it's usually the ladies. But what's born of the spirit is spirit. You see, when you become born again, your spirit comes alive. Something happens on the inside, but your body's still the same. So sometimes you read things in the Bible, and it's talking about that we are seated in heavenly realms. Well, my body's not, but my spirit is. It says that we've got a connection with God, that we can press into the Holy of Holies. Well, our body cannot, but our spirit can. Yeah, and sometimes we can almost get a contradiction, and we wonder, I've been praying here for 20 minutes and I don't feel anything, because our spirit can't feel. Do you appreciate that our spirit, you can't feel your spirit, but you can feel your soul, your emotions. Put a sad song on, you'll start weeping at it, or put an happy thing, you'll start laughing. That's your feelings on the inside, and you can feel your body, you can touch your body, but your spirit, you can't feel it. You've just got to believe by faith. You see, when I got saved, nothing happened, except I said something seemed to come alive, and I saw things differently. But I had to believe by faith that I'd come alive, because nothing had happened. Now, some people get saved and they see all sorts and great things happen and feel amazing. They feel, and I'm not rubbishing them, but for me, nothing happened, but I'm just trusting in God. I just said, God, I know I'm saved. I went home and there were things going off in the house, and I said, I don't really know what's going on, but I know I'm a child of God. I am saved. And I went to school, sixth form, whatever I was in, and I told them, I have now become a Christian. They laughed, and, well, some did, some didn't know what to do. They said, what does that mean? I said, I don't know, except for yesterday I was going to hell, and today I'm going to heaven. That's all I knew. I've invited Jesus, and I've given my life to Jesus, and everything's all right. See, what's born of the spirit is spirit, but what's born of flesh is flesh. And our mind, our soul, is right between. So sometimes God says something to us, but our body rebels against what God's saying. And our mind has got to make its choice, whether it listens to the spirit and what God's saying, or listens to the body, what you're saying. And that's a battle that will continue throughout all our lives. We cannot touch a spirit, but our spirit can connect to our soul, because our spirit is the part of us that connects with God. You see, God doesn't talk to your mind. Now, some people say, well, I think I heard God, and there's a lot of, I'm trying to just keep it simple, but there's lots of fine lines, and we can be on one side of it. But let's just put it this way, that when you pray with your mind, it comes out of your mouth, your body, and it goes to God. But God speaks direct to your spirit. He doesn't speak to your body. He doesn't speak to your soul. He speaks to your spirit. And it's our spirit that's connected with God. It's our spirit that's seated in heavenly realms. It's our spirit that's got the power to listen to God. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're not baptized physically out over here. It's not like a water running over us all the time. And even in our soulish realm, it's hard to work that one out. But in our spirit, that's where we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's where there's a fire in our bellies, in our heart. And even, this is the interesting thing, the more I've looked into it, as much as I keep saying spirit, soul, and body, our heart, not the pump, but heart, we're not quite even sure where that is. We know it's not the body. It's a soulish realm, but we're not quite sure. It might be a connection between the spirit and our soul. There's a bit of a connection, and that might be the heart. I'm trying to put this across because I've not unpacked it, and I've read so much, and I've cut the red tape. I don't think people really know. Only God knows. But the verse in the Bible, it says that, you know, it's God's word that can divide the soul and the spirit. We can't. James 2 says this, James 2:26. It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. When we become born again, our spirit in God came alive, and we can't feel it, but without it, we're dead. How many of us know that when Adam sinned, God says to Adam, you know, you eat of that fruit and you'll die. But he didn't physically die that moment. He died on the inside. His spirit died towards God. When we become born again, we come alive. back to God. Adam died. So sometimes the body without the spirit is still walking around, but it's dead before God. So we need to keep in mind, this is what it says in John 6, 63. It says, it is a spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The word of God is what connects, ties it all together for us. When you read the word of God, Jesus says that his words I speak, the word of God, is spirit and they are life. That's why sometimes you read the Bible and in your body it makes no sense. In your mind it's complicated, but in your spirit it seems to connect. Something seems to happen in the spirit, but our mind, our peanut brain, can't work it all out. Because our spirit is connected with God and understands God's word, but our mind is having real problems about it. It tries to complicate it. If we want to know who we are and how are we doing, if you want to know how you're doing, the first thing you do, you often look in the mirror. You look in the mirror and check yourself out and see how you're doing. So you look in the mirror, and if you're me, you look in the mirror and go, looking good. Some of you might do that, some of you might not. Then you look inside yourself and see how you're feeling on the inside. And sometimes when I do that, I go, I'm feeling good. So not only am I looking good, I'm feeling good. Actually, guys, I did once, a long time ago, with all that stuff. Nowadays, I just trust in God. But we can't tell how we're doing in the spirit. Physically, you can look. I see some of you ladies looked in the mirror this morning, checked out your hair, did yourself up. Some of you guys didn't bother. But, you know, you can check out on the outside, but through a mirror. On the inside, you can check how you're doing just by looking at your own emotions state. Am I happy? Am I sad? You can, but your spirit, you don't really know what it's doing. You can't tell how your spirit's doing. Well, let me tell you, spirit's alive and it's kicking. And it's doing really well, connected with God. And sometimes we need to get the word of God into our spirit. But I've realized this, that we need to put the word of God about here. So that our body, we read it in our body, but we need the word of God between our body and our soul. So that it can speak to our soul, our mind. And that our spirit is talking to our mind and telling us stuff. And it's, in a sense, it's trimming it in. In James 1, 23 to 25, it says this. Talking about the Bible, anyone who listens to the word, and does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in all what they do. Now, we also want to be blessed in all that we do, but James is saying, if you want to be blessed in all of what you do, you need to read the word of God and don't forget what the word of God says. You need to keep it in mind. So I often say, if the spirit's over here, our mind's in the middle and our body's over, we need to get the word of God over here so we can read the word of God, start telling our mind what the word of God is saying, remembering what the word of God is saying, letting it sink into our heart, allowing the spirit of God, the spirit that's within us, connected to the spirit of God, set our lives on fire for him. You see, when we start listening too much to our body's tendency is to chill out, relax, and do nothing, and just slumber away. Our spirit is a fire that's inside us saying, come on, let's do something. It's amazing how sometimes people pack in life and just stagger through life aimlessly, and they say they've got no get up and go, they've got nothing going on in their lives, until one day they realize or fall in love with somebody. Then they come alive. It's amazing how I've seen mates of mine, this was years ago, were as scruffy as anything till they saw a girl that they really fancied. Then they're brushing their hair, cleaning their teeth, and then they'd be out, you know, they'd be out in the rain. They'd be walking miles because something had happened in their heart that had told their body what to do. When normally the body tells the heart what to do or the mind what to do, in them, something had happened on the inside and went, I like her, I'm going after her. But often, with the word of God, we're not reading the word of God. We're not taking the word of God in. We're not listening to the word of God. And therefore, our body is dictating to our mind how we should live life. And our spirit's over here shouting, saying, no, that's not right. But our body's so strong, but it's telling us what to do. And as Christians, we don't need to listen to our bodies. We need to be listening to our spirit and listen to the word of God that's connected to the spirit. The Bible tells us all sorts. It tells us who God is. It tells us who Jesus is. It tells us God's nature. It tells us God's character. It really annoys when people say, God's an angry God. Well, obviously, you've not read that much about him. Because it shows God a loving God, a compassionate God. Yes, he gets angry. Yes, he doesn't put up with rubbish. Yes, he brings discipline. Yes, he hates sin. But it shows you God's character is a character of love. The Bible tells us all about the good news. Great news, in fact. We sung a song earlier. And it were hard pushed for us, not almost. I think we just jumped beyond the dirge. By his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. That's what it comes across. You know, one day we'll get a new body, and not many people look excited about that, which means you're all happy with your body you've got. I'm looking forward to my new body because according to the Bible, it'll be able to walk through walls. Woo-hoo. And you'll be able to eat and then walk through a wall. So I don't know how that works, but we're going for it. The Bible tells us the good news. The Bible tells us who we are in Jesus. I mean, if you ever want to unpack who you really are, who you are, not the outside, not the body, but who you are in the soulish and the spirit realm, you need to get into the Word of God because it tells you who you are in Jesus. It tells you who you are without Jesus, that you're lost. You're going away, that's it. To be honest with you, I could spend hours and hours just telling you about what the Bible says, so I don't want to jump onto that sort of stuff. The Bible is like a mirror to our spirit. We have a mirror for our body so we can fix our eyebrows or whatever else you want to do. But you've got a Bible which tells us what we're like on the inside, and it's a mirror for us. So it shows us who we really are, and that's the key. You can listen to what people say about you, or you can go direct to the Maker and find out what he said about you. I grew up being told I'm no good, I'll spend most of my life in prison. That's from teachers. I got told I were a fool by people. I got all the really positive, negative stuff thrown over my life. I could live with that now. I could suck my thumb and just say, well, so-and-so said this about me. And yeah, they did. It's true. I mean, a lot more. And it usually had a lot of expletives in there as well. But one day, when I became a Christian, I started finding out that, A, I was a child of God. And that totally changed my life. Because as much as I came through my mum and dad, I came from God. Because it's God who actually knew me before the foundation of the earth, who actually knew my life and knew me. And when I gave my life to him, I became a son of God. That was more important to me than being a son of an egg. As much as I really appreciate my dad and think the world of him and all that stuff, I'm now a child of God. And that meant I didn't care what anybody else thinks. I didn't care too much about what people thought beforehand. But when I became a Christian, I definitely didn't care what people thought anymore. Because I'm more interested in what God says about me than what even I think about me. And yet many of us are more conscious of what we think about ourselves and what our body's telling us than we are what God's talking to us about. We care too much about our own opinions and what our bodies are saying instead of saying, what does the Word of God say and what's he saying to our spirit? Let's look at this in a bit more detail. When we gave our lives to Jesus, he saved us. You all understand that, don't you? When we say we're saved, we usually put ED on the end, or a D on the end, which means it's past tense. Every one of us who's become a Christian over 5 seconds ago has been saved, past tense, haven't you? But our spirit is the bit that's got saved. Our mind, our soul, is being saved. Present tense. And our body will be saved when we get the new body. So there's some things in the Bible we read, and it can be a bit confusing because we're trying to take things that talk about our soul, our spirit, and we're trying to apply it to our body. And then we're trying to apply things that's talking about our body to our spirit. And then our minds in between. Our spirit became alive when we gave our life to God. But our body stayed the same. Well, I'm assuming you all went through the same process. You got saved and you stayed the same on the outside. Nothing changed. Ephesians 1 verse 13 says this. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed and were marked in him and were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. When you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit seals you. But he doesn't seal you over here. And he doesn't seal you in your soul. He seals you in your spirit. Your spirit is sealed. It's packed up. It's touching heaven. And it's totally amazing. When you sin, it's usually in the body. It's usually conceived in the mind. But it doesn't affect the spirit. Because your spirit is sealed. Now, I need to point out this. There are some people that actually have this idea now that because we are our spirit, that if the body sins, I'm no longer my body, I am my spirit. And in one sense, we are our spirit, but we also still have a body. And if our body sins, we've sinned. They say that we can no longer sin. And in 1 John, it just talks about we can't sin, and it says we do sin. So you need to unpack that a little bit more for yourselves. But really, our spirit has been sealed. Our mind is being transformed, sanctified, I think the posh word is. Being sanctified, changed. But our body is still hanging on to the flesh. So our spirit is sealed. Our spirit is the bit that communicates with God. Our spirit is holy and blameless. Our spirit is Christ-like. It's with Christ. And the list can go on. Our spirit is touching heaven. And it's changing earth. I like that. It's there. It's a good song, isn't it? Our spirit's making a difference in our lives. And if we allow our spirit to make a difference in our lives, then our soul can make our difference over our body. And our body's the hands and feet of Jesus and can go out and do things. Our spirit in itself cannot do anything to reach people. But it can help our mind to start speaking and our hands to start working. But if our spirit's not connecting to God or it's been overruled by our soul and our body. I'm going to do some. I should have had running Fitbits on this morning. Our soul is being transformed. It's going from glory to God, glory. It's becoming more like Christ. Our minds are being renewed, etc. And we are being saved. But our body, we get one, it dies, and we get a new one. Or we get raptured, whichever way it comes first. But this is sometimes why Christians get a bit confused. Guys, if you never have a battle in your mind, then you're not struggling between the body and the spirit. I struggle all the time. There's constantly a battle going on in my mind. We read verses like this. We read Romans 8, 37. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You read that in the Bible and your spirit's going, yes, I'm more than a conqueror. I can do anything. I can overcome everything. And our bodies are going, just 10 more minutes in bed, please. Just 10 more minutes. And our spirit's going, we're alive, come on. Let's be a world conqueror. But our body's there going, I just can't be bothered. Oh, I just can't be bothered. I just can't do it. And your mind's there going, which do I listen to? Do I listen to this that's saying we can? Or do I listen to this which said I can't? Which one do I listen to? And your mind's a battlefield. Your emotion, because your body's there going, feel this. Feel this. And you start to, I'm feeling depressed. Or you're feeling unhappy. But your spirit say, be alive, be alive. And it's like, oh, what's going on? Because there's almost a shock. So people stop reading the Bible because it seems to be this old contradiction going on. Because every time they read the Bible, the spirit's coming alive, going, yeah, we can do this. But every time they're reading, the bodies are going, no, we cannot. But it's up to us which one we listen to. I've learnt this recently, and I think it's amazing. And I've not unpacked it. I found out that most of my problems are my fault. And I'm actually glad about that now. That's it. Because if it's my fault, I can fix it. But if it's somebody else's fault, I can't fix them. I can't change them. So now I thought I need to take more responsibility for my life. And even if it's not my problem, I'm going to claim it so I can change it in me. And we're living in a culture that blames everything and everyone. It was my dad, it was my mum, it was this, it was that, it's the boss, it's this. Because you can't change them. So you can constantly go around sucking your thumb going, it's not my problem. Well, I've learned half of stuff or most of stuff or all the stuff is my problem. And therefore, I can do something about it. So it's up to me. Do I listen to I am more than a conqueror through Christ who's loved me? Or do I listen to my body going, no, you're not? You see, many of us read the Bible and then the first thing we come across is somebody giving us a negative point of view. Negativity really starting to rile me. It really bugs me. It really, and I can prove it for so long, and then I'm just going to walk away because I just negativity. Because negativity is in the flesh. Life is in the spirit. How are you doing? Not bad. What's that mean? Okay. Or the one I've heard recently, not doing so bad under the circumstances. Well, I heard one preacher say, what are you doing under the circumstances? We should be the head, not the tail. Our body's telling us to give up, give in, suck it up and stay in bed. Our spirit's saying, let's be alive for Jesus. And there's a conflict in our minds. No, somebody tells you you're no good and you believe it. Well, Jesus says you're of great worth. Which do you believe? You believe the one you act on. You see, the Bible says that, no, I ain't got to that verse yet, so I'm not going to drive in. Our mind and our soul will actually try to dictate what we should do. Over here, the things of God, the Spirit's going, yes. Over here, it's saying, no. And in between is a third vote. Is it yes for the Spirit, or is it no and go with the flesh? When you want to sin and do something fleshly, the body goes, yes. And the Spirit says, no. And the mind's got the choice, the third vote. Do I go into this and continue into it? Because the Bible says clearly that, well, sin has no power over us, so it's a choice. And the Spirit's saying, do not do it. The Word of God's saying, do not do it. Your conscience saying, do not do it. But your flesh is saying, just do it already. And what do you do? Do you take that choice? Simple one. Read the Bible. Well, do I, don't I? 5 more minutes in bed. It takes about 70 hours to read the Bible from front to back. That works out about 3.5 days. Anybody got 3.5 days to spare in a year? And yet, not here, but probably in a survey we did in one church, 90% of the people had not read the Bible all the way through in the last 5 years. Yet it's only 3.5 days. You tell me your flesh isn't strong when we can't give 10 minutes just to reading, 15 minutes to praying. Yeah, maybe the Simpsons are on. I can't have a go at Jeremy Kyle anymore, so I've got to pick on somebody else. This is another one. So our body says one thing, our mind says it something else. We need to, you talk about fasting and your body just freaks out. What about when the doctor says you're sick? The doctor says, you're sick. You are sick. I'm not talking, and this is a very touchy subject for many people. But when the doctor says you're sick, and your body says you're sick, and you feel sick, but your spirit's going, great opportunity for a testimony. Woohoo! What does our mind do? I want to be sick. I'll lay over here because it's nice. The only time I ever got an infection off my mum when I was a kid is when I was sick. When I was poor, it was great. She'd mop me brow, she'd give me all the food I wanted, I could watch as much telly as I want. But when I were right, it wasn't a problem. Back out there. But our spirit's saying, read the Word of God, become alive. We read words like, by His stripes we are healed. Yes! No! Which do we listen to? Sleeping and praying. The body's saying sleep. The spirit's saying pray. Which do we listen to? What's going on? You see, I don't know about you, but how do you know you're saved? Because you can't feel you're saved, can you? You just believe you are saved. Well, I do anyway. I just trust God. I believe I'm saved. I believe I'm saved. I'm saved. The Bible said I'm saved. I believe that. My body sometimes even tells me, I've been saved for probably about 30 years, and I've been pastoring for at least 8 years, and there's times even now where a little voice comes in my head and goes, are you really saved? Are you really saved? This is even a worse one. Does God really exist? And I just said, well, if he don't, I'm in trouble, but I'm trusting him anyway. I'm just going to go with that one. I've burnt my bridges. I'm coming out on this one. I'm going for it. And I don't know. I'm assured that he is alive because he brought me alive. You know what I mean? I've seen the great works he's done. I've seen the miracles. But we all have conflict in our minds. We all have this battle going on. If you don't believe me, I've got a little PowerPoint that we're just going to put up. And this PowerPoint is going to show you that you can have conflicting ideas in your mind. You know, children are born to believe. When a baby's born, they believe everything. That's why you've got to be so careful what you tell them. They believe everything. Then they go to school and they get it beaten out of them that you shouldn't believe anything, that you should be suspicious of everything. And then as they grow up and they've got to reword that stuff, as young children go, we learn colours. Quite naturally, we learn colours. But it becomes second nature to us. And then we're taught to read. And reading is something that's drilled into us. And reading can overrule our sense of colours. Even though you learnt your colours before you learnt to read. So a PowerPoint's coming up here. And you can, this is rhetorical, so you can shout. So I'm going to ask you, what colour is the word? Okay? So back it up a bit quick. Back to the beginning. So first one, that's red. Blue, green, black, pink, black. It wasn't orange, it was black. Back up to orange. The word orange. There, that's black. You see how your mind's playing tricks on you now because you're reading a word and I've asked you, tell me what colour it is, not what it says. So we're at that one. Okay, next one. Purple, yellow. Red, blue, green, green, red,
yellow, blue, purple, pink.
Oh, it's pink. There. Your mind gets used to it after a while, but the truth is you get mixed up pretty fast. So when the Word of God is saying something to you, are you listening to what your spirit says? Or you listen to what your body says. The reason I say to you, put your word of God on this side, is because from this side comes the whispers. You see, not only is there a battle in our mind between our spirit and our body, there's also a battle in our mind from what's been whispered from the outside. Could be demonic. Could be just our wayward thinking. Could be thoughts and things of other people, what people said. And people encourage us as well. They tell us, it's all right. Die if you want to die. Now, we've all got to work these things through. And there's times in our life where the Bible says we need to just slowly unpack it. We've been, Romans 12:2, Ruth looked at it last week. It talks about being renewed. Don't be transformed into the pattern of this world, but be renewed by the transformation of your mind through the Word of God. And we need to let the Word of God change our thinking so our thinking lines up with what the Spirit is saying. The reason why sometimes we struggle with things in life is because we know what the Word of God says, but it's not really coming out of us. Because it says in the Bible that as a man thinks in, or as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Or the King James says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what you're really thinking will come out. And often what you're really thinking is what your body's telling you. Your spirit's saying something else, and your mind's a battlefield. I'm saying this to try and encourage you. Don't go home feeling condemned. If you've got battles in your mind, it's quite normal. If you've not quite worked it through, if there's something that you believe in God for, it's not quite happened yet, keep persisting. Because things take time. But it's only through time and through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You see, we'd all love the quick pill from God, a quick shabba-dabba-do, and it does happen. But if you get, how about this, if you get healed, but don't trust the Word of God, you'll probably get sick again and need to go before God for another miracle. But if you can learn to trust in the God, in God and trust in His Word, and the Word talks about how He wants us to live lives that are honouring to Him, that are healthy, then you can live in a state where you know that God wants you to be well. Now, some of us say that, some people, alarm bells go off. I'm not talking about the extremes of these. I'm talking about the fact that God wants us to live lives and be healthy. Because it's a mockery, sin, and the curse to God. And yeah, we can have a miracle, we're Pentecostal, and let's have some miracles. But God wants us to live in a time where we can push for. You know, it's great if you get money sent through your letterbox every week. It's a blessing. It's a miracle. It's great. But I'd rather have a great job that gives me a great pay so I can pay all the bills off instead of believing God every month for a check to come through from somebody else. God wants to bless us. He wants to give us miracles, but he wants us to walk in blessings. Yeah. And the Word of God tells us how to live in those blessings, how to operate in those blessings, how to keep in those blessings. Yeah. And let me encourage you to keep on pushing on. If you've not got the thing you've been praying about, keep believing and trusting God. Because it will come. It says, you know, don't give up because the time's coming. We need to push through in some stuff. And yet it would be really good to get a quick miracle. But you're still in the same situation. The thing about a miracle is you always need a problem to have a miracle. But you don't need a problem to have a blessing. Our spirit is in connection with God. And our spirit is desperately telling our soul what it should think. But our body is also telling us what we should think and feel and trust. And it's up to us. Now, if you're over here, if you're listening to your body, you're saved, but you're listening, you're still going to go to heaven. You're still loved by God. You're still cared for. God's got a better plan for you, though. It doesn't mean you're a second, you're a reject. We've all lived there. We've all lived there. But God's saying, come on, guys, we want you to live joining the spirit and your soul together through the Word of God, trusting in God, so that when problems come, you can speak over them. And I haven't got much time, but I really feel it's right to... How many of us cry out to God and ask God to do something for us when the Word of God tells us to do the thing we're asking God to do? Now, I know God can move the mountain, but he tells us to speak over the silly mountain. It tells us to lay hands on the sick and see them. It tells us to cast out the demons. It tells us to walk upright. It tells us to put on the armor of God. It tells us to add to our faith a list of stuff. It tells us to operate in the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit. It tells us to do that. And yet we're saying, God, I need more peace. And God's going, I've already given you peace. Operate in that peace. God, I need more patience. I've already given you patience now. And your spirit's full of patience, but your body don't want to know about it. And your mind's there going, I don't know what's going on. And you're not schizophrenic. It's just that you need just to listen to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to saturate your life. And just thinking about praying, reading a verse this morning, it needs to sink into your heart, germinate in good soil, and grow an harvest. You see, I'm not believing for a 30-fold in my life or a 60-fold. I'm believing for a 100-fold of harvest in my life. But it starts with the Word of God going into our hearts. And God wants us to change, and he wants us to go from glory to glory, and he wants us to grow up in him. But if you're still a child in God, it doesn't matter. We're all on a journey. I'm not saying I've made it yet. I'm not even anywhere near half of these things I read. I'm desperate for more of God. I'm wanting to push out. But I realize that in my spirit, I've got as much as God as I can possibly hold. And sometimes that stuff I've got of God in my spirit filters through into my mind. And sometimes I even feel it in my body. Get a little tickly feeling and stuff. And that's amazing. That's awesome. But when it doesn't happen, it's still amazing and awesome. Because the spirit is still alive. It's still full of God. I'm saying this to try and encourage you guys. Number one, if you are battling your mind, you're not mental. You just got to work things through, trust, get people praying with you. If you're struggling with things, keep pushing forward, keep moving on. Keep walking the good walk, as it says. Walk worthy of the walk that God's called you to do, Ephesians 4. Fight the good fight, Ephesians 6. It talks about standing, going forward. Jesus always said he'll never leave us. He'll always be with us. And when we're at our lowest moments, even when we get it wrong, this is the amazing thing about God. When we mess up, when we are laid up floor, sucking us thumbs, when it seems like there's the whole depression of world just dropped on us, when we feel like we can't get out of bed because, you know, just life, or there's things not right in our heads, then Jesus still loves us. And it's in those moments when he takes us in his arms and he picks us up. But he doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to get back on our feet. He wants us to stand and be strong in Jesus. Amen. and that we are more than conquerors in the Spirit. And we need our spirit to tell our mind that we are more than conquerors so that we can walk boldly into situations strong, knowing that we are more than conquerors. Guys, if you never get scared, you're never doing anything of any faith or any worth. But you need to just keep trusting God regardless. Keep going for it. Amen. Amen. I'll try and unpack it in a bit more depth over next week or next few weeks. But I just want to just encourage you to check it out yourself. Lots of people talk about spirit, soul, and body on the internet. Some of it's good, some of it's confusing, some of it's too intellectual for me to even go there with, using big words. But all I know is that we're three parts. You're saved. Your mind is being transformed. You are being saved. And your body one day will whip out of here like grease lightning. Or the better you either way, you know what I mean? And you get a new one. We're winners anyway, aren't we? Yeah. So be encouraged. Live life to the max. Amen.